Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We're going to be talking about an issue today that I believe should be of interest, compelling interest, serious interest to each and every American today. We're on the very verge of celebrating 250 years of America. Our celebration of independence, 250th year. Over that period of time, we've gone through wars, difficulties, depression, traumas, calamities, and America has still survived. My question today, will America survive the future? Will America survive the future? You might say, well, if we've survived for 250 years, surely America will survive. Will we? We have some things mitigating against that even today. And I'm not a doom and gloomist. I'm not saying that America's going to die tomorrow. In fact, it was the early 90s, Dr. James Kennedy wrote a book, entitled it, America, You're Too Young to Die. And ladies and gentlemen, I still say that. I believe America's too young to die. 250th anniversary, we're still too young to die. But as we watch the handwriting on the wall, as we witness the things that are mitigating against the very foundation of our nation. Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, you might say, what is the foundation of America? America is built on morals, ethics, values, biblical principles we inherited from our founding fathers. We celebrated Memorial Day in recognition of those that have given the ultimate, paid the ultimate price, given their lives for America, for the protection of our nation. Just in the Iranian-American war, and it's war, we've lost 13 of our military men as a result of the battle. They gave their lives, they paid the ultimate price, that we might have liberty in America. Yet today, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding in America, time after time after time, there are those that are leaders in America, city councilmen, city aldermen, governors, mayors across our nation, that's not proud of America, that's absolutely against anything that our Constitution, and in particular our Bill of Rights, might stand for. How do we continue to stand? Ladies and gentlemen, once upon a time, America and Americans were proud to be American. Even just a few years ago, our politicians were proud to be Americans. We're not witnessing that today. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue my word, Then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so delighted for that statement. That's a soft pillow to lay a head on, to know that the truth of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't need modification. It doesn't need revision. It doesn't need any changes. As one loose, lax, lost, liberal female preacher said just a few weeks ago, that the errors and flaws in the Old Testament, the New Testament, we need to toss both of them away and then write a new Bible without those flaws and errors. Of course, the flaws and errors that she was talking about was where the Word of God condemns the sodomite lifestyle. The Word of God condemns murder by way of abortion. The Word of God condemns most of what we find today that's called morals, ethics, and values based on the current foundation being destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand for truth, the truth of the Word of God. I know there are those that say, well, what is truth? Jesus says, I am truth, John 14:6. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, made this statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we find that to be de facto true even today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our churches. And yet we find some of the more recent surveys, statistical data, points to the fact that, as one headline puts it, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. We have deviated from truth. Another headline I have, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And it goes on to talk about in that major article, ladies and gentlemen, that the bastion of that which is far away from truth today, found in government, the media, and education. And I have said for so many years that that is the rudimentary, fundamental places that you find a deviation from anything. It's called truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. So that's my challenge each and every day right here on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Condo and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You might say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark, on the campus of Tools for a Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, right after a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And we're finding more and more across America today, even though I rejoice, even though I'm thankful, even though I have said so many times that I believe it was the divine intervention of God that placed Donald J. Trump in office for the 45th president, and then again for the 47th president. And what Trump is doing is wonderful and good, but there's so many agencies, so many organizations, so many tentacles of local, state, and national government that is so intertwined with all of society that it's an impossibility for the president to stop everything that's taking place that is against the Christian, that's against America, that's against our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding today there are those in state, local, and national positions that rather than honoring America and serving America and recognizing that we have a constitutional republic, they're against the United States of America. I'm looking at a headline that says, "Disgraceful. Fury erupts as anti-American lunatic running for Congress turns her back on the flag and rejects the Pledge of Allegiance." This article reads in part, "Fury has erupted online as Americans learn that the Sacramento City Councilwoman Maya Vang, a Democrat seeking re-election to Congress, routinely turns her back on the U.S. flag and refuses to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Disgraceful betrayal," said Bridget Gabriel, a New York Times best-selling author and founder of Act for America, native-born councilwoman whose family escaped communist genocide, poor living conditions, and slaughter in Laos, thanks to America and America's life-saving refuge, turns her back on the U.S. flag and rejects the Pledge of Allegiance. Sacramento City Councilwoman, Democrat candidate for Congress, routinely turns her back on the American flag. Quote, "This betrayal exposes shocking ingratitude, makes her utterly unfit for any public office. Remove her immediately," the writer says. "Disgusting. Her election is next week. Don't let this anti-American lunatic anywhere near our Congress." Ladies and gentlemen, that's wonderful to say, and I'm in full agreement with that. But we need to understand we have many, many, many today, city council people, aldermen in our cities and state legislators, House and the Senate, and on the national level, that hates America, will wave any flag of their national origin and will stand for anything that's against the United States of America. I'm looking at a headline. "California mayor abruptly resigns after admitting that she's been spying for America since 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding more and more of this coming to head, and yet we're finding very little being done to block and stop those that are foreign-born, those that have no interest in the Constitution, no interest in the Declaration of Independence, no interest in our Bill of Rights, that's being elected to public office to make the rules, the regulations, and the laws in America that will ultimately destroy the fundamental foundation of our great nation. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe we have Marshall on the line. Marshall, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Welcome back, Doc. It's wonderful to hear you on the radio. I have a comment that I want to make this morning, so be aware that this is coming from severe unction to say what I'm going to say.
Amen.
It is on topic. Over the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, I had a significant exchange with a very wonderful lady, the wife of a young man that I helped get into the aviation career a number of years ago. She knows the Bible well. She's a well-educated professional woman, and she loves the Lord. But she has two things that are very, very, very consequential in keeping her from being as effective as she could be. And I actually broke off communications with her, future communications, because of what took place. And here's what that was. This woman is blinded more by race than by her devotion to God, even though she loves the Lord and she's very effective. And secondly, she does not understand the imperative, and this relates to Memorial Day weekend, the imperative for Christians to be involved in local affairs, military, political, etc.
Yes.
Too many of our greatest warriors, the men who most contributed to the success of America were Christian men. They had no problem being involved voluntarily, including a number of pastors, in the wars in our past. There are too many people out there, the Christians, that have become involved with the dissonance, or let's just call it the lie, of replacement theology, and don't understand the significance of our time and what we're supposed to do. America had a purpose. America still has a purpose, yes. But we're under God's judgment. Mm-hmm. And she took great exception to something that I had put in writing about political issues and Christian involvement. And essentially, Christians must be involved, particularly today,
yes.
In the affairs of our nation and the affairs of the world. We must know what they are. We must understand where we fit into the biblical time scale in the time in which we live, and we must be very bold and forthright in our stands. We cannot shut up and not be part of the process and let the world literally go to hell because of our silence. Christians are called to be involved in the marketplace. We are called to stand up for good and righteousness, to set a standard, and there is no time in human history more like the time we live in today with the events surrounding Mr. Trump and those who are trying to take him out, those who are Democrats. Mm-hmm. We must be involved. That's why your program is so important and why we missed you the times you were out last week. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Marshall, for those comments. You're on target with what you're saying. And let me add to that, Marshall. One of the things that I see taking place today is fewer and fewer Christians are involved in the political process, and far fewer and fewer pastors are. You remember the name Mullenberger, the pastor of yesteryear that had his Confederate uniform on, and he pulled it off, and his clerical robe on, pulled it off and said, "Follow me," and participated in the battle. And yet we find those today that's fearful to say anything. They might lose numbers, nickels, and noses. They're afraid that some Democrat might become offended in some way, some fashion. In fact, in just a few moments, we're going to listen to several minutes of a dear woman that's presenting her argument before Congress that I believe is applicable for every Christian, every pastor, every Christian and conservative to hear today. I believe it is important for us to be involved, but we need to be informed as to what's happening and then be motivated to recognize that God's called us to be salt and light. Marshall, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about 5 or 6 minutes, maybe 7 minutes, on this clip that I want us to hear. It sets the stage for the balance of the broadcast today. Listen carefully to what is being said, and then we'll close out this segment just before the news with a few comments about it.
Distinguished members of Congress, my name is Amy Meckelberg. I'm founder of Rare Foundation USA. I come before you today out of profound love for this country and at great personal cost. For 15 years, I have documented Islam's assault on Europe and its dangerous advance inside of America. For defending Western values, Islam and its left-wing allies marked my family for destruction. They stalked us, they attacked my loved ones' careers, and sent death threats. Today, I travel with armed security. A simple walk, a grocery run, opening my front door, none of it is safe anymore. Islam has taken that from me. The hardest part of this fight, though, has been watching my friends pay the ultimate price. On January 29th, 2025, my friend Salwan Momika, an Iraqi Christian who fled to Sweden to escape Islam, was slaughtered as I watched. Sweden put him on trial for hate speech, for telling the truth about the threat that killed him. Salwan predicted his own assassination. He knew because the Sharia penalty for criticizing Islam is death. A 1,400-year-old war is being waged inside our country. Muhammad, the man that Muslims call their prophet, was a military commander whose mission was to bring the world under Islamic rule. The mission cannot be completed until America falls. Islam is a hostile totalitarian political ideology using our freedoms to destroy us. To every non-Muslim, it offers three choices: convert, submit, or die. It does not stop until every court, every school, and every government on earth is under Sharia. The Muslim Brotherhood turned this imperative into a modern conquest strategy. Two seized documents, the 1982 Project and the 1991 Explanatory Memorandum, detail their two-front plan: build parallel Islamic societies that reject assimilation while their faithful capture our institutions. The Brotherhood wrote the playbook. Today, every hostile Islamic regime and faction is executing it on our soil. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Turkey, Qatar, Pakistan, Hamas, the Taliban. Different countries, different sects, all marching in lockstep towards one conquest. These networks operate more than 8,000 Islamic nonprofits across America, including 650 in Texas alone. They built a parallel infrastructures, mosques, seminaries, schools, Sharia banks, Sharia courts, Sharia clinics, charities, media, and political networks. They have no plans of assimilating. Texas and Florida are the Brotherhood's command centers. They are the clearest example of the first strategy: build massive fortresses where Muslims can live cradle to grave under full Sharia. In Texas, terror-tied Imam Yasser Qadhi is fighting to build Epic City, a 402-acre Sharia compound marked as, quote, the epicenter of Islam in North America, end of quote. In Katy, an $80 million Sharia compound is rising under Brotherhood operative Main al-Quds, whose family are leading terrorists in Jordan. Hamad Ghazali, named in the 1991 memorandum, recruited Americans for al-Qaeda. Today, he writes curriculum for Islamic school children across North America. Texas taxpayers are able to fund him through school vouchers. Across America, the Brotherhood is buying churches and converting them to mosques. A Lubbock school became a Brotherhood mosque in 45 days. In Dallas, two imams who preach hand amputation, sex with captives, and stoning adulterers are suing to seize a Christian megachurch. Garland, Texas hosts the U.S. headquarters of a Pakistani jihadi network that trains hundreds of terrorists, including the recent killer of the West Virginia National Guard member. In Florida, third-generation Brotherhood leader Magda El-Qadi Salah runs a self-contained Tampa enclave. A Houston mosque led by Imam, appointed by the Iran supreme leader, received $1 million in tax dollars while children pledged allegiance to Khomeini. Another Hamas-supporting Tex mega mosque hosted public school field trips while its imams preached that the fathers and brothers can kill adulterous daughters. Members of Congress, there is a little Muslim American girl right now born in Texas under our Constitution with every sacred right our forefathers fought and died to give her. She will never know any of them. Her own father, imam, and teachers raise her to believe she is worth less than half a man, and Islam's texts command this. If she is beaten, it is her fault. If she is raped, no American courthouse will hear her screams. If she is married off as a child to a pedophile, she will never know it is a crime. She is shielded from her birthright, raised to hate her own country, trained to subvert it. There are thousands like her and growing fast. This war's second strategy captures our institutions and cultures from within. Their operatives have penetrated our State Department, our courts, our school boards to subvert the Constitution and replace it. Hamas, doing business as CARE, has trained 50,000 lawyers, they boast of this, journalists, filmmakers, influencers, to embed Islam and rewrite our history. When we object, they scream Islamophobia. Their super PAC floods our elections, mosque-run voter drives. Beside me is 15-year-old Marco Hunter Lopez. He will tell you how the Muslim Brotherhood student arm founded in Texas by Yasser Qadhi's father is targeting Texas children. For speaking out, Marco's safety was threatened. Our nation's leaders are failing our children. Member of Congress, the American people are awake. Washington is not. We must choose the Constitution or the Quran, America or the Caliphate, freedom or submission. There is no middle ground.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Michael.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is a few-moment lecture on the history of what is happening through Islam presenting and pushing Sharia law in the United States of America. And the thing that is sad, we're witnessing and watching from the House and the Senate on a national level to state departments and local city council leaders that are either totally ignorant of what is happening? Are they so unconcerned that they're doing nothing? Or they're doing as some of the Democrats? I'm looking at a headline. The question was asked, are you safer next to someone shouting Allah Akbar or someone in a MAGA hat? Man on the street interview has the stunning answers. This article says this, a new man in the streets interview video has delivered a stunning revelation about Democrats in America. They said they'd rather be with a radical Islamic whose goal is to slit the throats and enslave women than Trump supporters who want to make America great again. This article continues and it says this, delusional Democrats admit that they have more in common with radical Islam than Trump supporters and would feel safer next to someone shouting Allah Akbar than someone in a MAGA hat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that gives us an illustration of where we are and what's happening in America. Across our nation, we're witnessing the invasion of the Islamic jihadists on a mega scale. In fact, I am told in the research that I have discovered that even the election that's coming up this fall, that there's over 1,100 Islamic candidates running for office at every level, local, state, and national levels, where they are pushing to have Islam embedded to the point that Islam then will stand up and take total control of the United States of America. I'm looking at a headline that says, suspect in the Texas shooting wore property of Allah, clothing of Iranian flag emblem. The gunman who killed the two people at the bar in Texas in a mass shooting that left 14 others wounded was wearing a sweatshirt that said, property of Allah. Ladies and gentlemen, at one time, that was something that our politicians would reject. At one time, that's something that politicians would say no, simply because we're Americans. But I'm finding today, ladies and gentlemen, the sad, sad truth is that we have so many that are willing to embrace Islam, either not recognizing or not wanting to admit that Islam has one goal, and that's total submission. For 1,400 years, Islam has worked incrementally, city by city, community by community, nation by nation, state by state, on a grassroots elemental level to control and dominate the world. I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we say to our leaders, no, I'm thankful that we have some political leaders, especially some in Texas and other places. I'm looking at an article. Sharia-free America caucus is growing. The tide is turning in our relentless battle to safeguard the very foundations of our nation. We told you about the creation of the Sharia-free America caucus. We brought you the latest press conference. This article says now, the Sharia-free American caucus in Congress has welcomed some 48 members co-founded by the unyielding champions of freedom, Representative Chip Roy and Klein Self of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to see that we have some that will take a stand and say no to Sharia law, that will say no to the Islamic invaders that are coming in to destroy the United States of America. Listen, Islam is not one that will come in and say we're... By the way, just another footnote, we'll talk about it further in this broadcast. Islam is not a religion. It is a forced way of life. Islam ought to have the 501c3s taken away from them in the United States of America. We need to recognize the enemy and reject the enemy, remove the enemy before it's eternally too late for America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theology.